We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Mary Schmidt back to the program. She's the president of Schmidt & Libby, the health advisory clinic in Northern Virginia, associate professor of clinical medicine at VCU in their on their Northern Virginia campus. And I really appreciate you coming on. We did just get the new numbers from the Virginia Department of Health, and it looks like we've gone from 63 total deaths in Virginia to 75 now. 500 and something total hospitalizations, crossing the threshold to 615 right now. And what's your reaction to that increase? I was kind of thinking when we got back from the weekend yesterday or on Monday that the number would have skyrocketed, but it seems like it's a slow climb here.
Well, you know, my fingers are crossed. And John, thank you for having me back this week. What I've been doing is tracking the deaths over the past week. And the good news is from April 4th till what's been reported on the 4th till today, the total deaths over a four-day period have been stable at about 12 a day. On the 2nd, it was 10, so we were starting to see at that point we were having this increased slope in deaths. And I can say that our hospitals right now in Virginia are well-equipped. I will tell you that ICUs are packed with these patients. We are doing a great job. We have not reached the end of our supply chain for protection equipment for the staff, for ventilators, for dialysis machines, and this machine called ECMO where we can do bypass. But we are at a pretty high capacity. There's some move room because we haven't been doing elective heart procedures and other types of procedures that would take up ICU beds in those particular units. So there's a little bit of move room. But I think we will be able to keep our ICU patients and do the best we can to help them survive this. And then it looks to me like the amount, the severe cases that we're seeing should be stable, and hopefully this will at some point decrease. We just don't know when we're going to see this plateau take a dip down. I'm hoping we're in the plateau from measures that we started doing 2 weeks ago.
Now, a lot of these deaths, a significant percentage of them, came from this one location with this rehab center that, you know, is very close to where I'm sitting right near, right here in the West End.
Yes. Yes, right.
So what do you make of that? Does that mean, I mean, is there anybody thinking, hey, this isn't as deadly as we might have thought 2 or 3 weeks ago? Or are people saying, well, thank God we isolated because the numbers would be catastrophic if we hadn't done that?
Well, what we're seeing in the nursing home is how contagious this is. Mm-hmm. And a study that came out of one of the nursing homes in the West Coast showed that a lot of the patients were colonized when they started seeing one or two patients positive. So the recommendations now are, as soon as a facility has one positive patient, the entire facility should go on lockdown and start using this heavy-duty personal protection equipment for every single patient, and the staff needs to be extremely careful, and the cleaning staff not to transmit it to person to person. I don't know if you've ever been in a nursing home, but you know, you've got usually two people in a room, sometimes one. There's a lot of people coming in and out, but it's very easy. They're running. These patients have a lot of needs, so the nursing and the nurses' aides are running in and out of rooms all the time trying to take care of these patients. So yeah. It's really easy to transmit it. And then I wonder about the staff. If we're seeing asymptomatic carriers, how many staff also are asymptomatic carriers? So it's really important for the staff to get masks on immediately. So if they're asymptomatic carriers, they're not transmitting it to the patients.
Yeah, I've got to figure that's a real challenge. And yeah, you know, I've had a couple of family members who've had extended rehab periods after surgery because they just didn't heal up quickly. And in fact, we had a family member in this location where these deaths are happening a couple of years ago. So I've kind of walked to those halls, and I thought they did a fine job, but I mean, it's a tough situation to be in. I also got I'm looking at the data about the cases, and of course, this jumps out at me. I'm 49 years old, about to be 50 in January, and gosh, if I'm reading this right, let me make sure I am. 20% of the cases here are people 50 to 59.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a little different than what we were talking about. Is that just the people who are infected? Or those who have, I guess that's the people who are infected, not those who've actually passed.
Correct. Okay. Oh, I'm on the website, too, looking at this and the data. Yeah, those are percentage of all the cases. But I think you're right in this kind of this concern of that we are seeing deaths in that age group. And it tends to be the people with hypertension seems to be the big thing coming out in statistical analysis. Diabetes also, we all know about diabetes, you know, lung disease, heart disease, and kidney disease, but the interesting one is hypertension as a diagnosis itself seems to be a really high risk for people under the age of 60.
So this is weird though. 20% 50 to 59, 17% 60 to 69. What do you make of that? That in that 20-year range, 37% of the folks who were infected come in that age range.
Well, remember, we're not testing everybody. It's still very difficult.
Right.
If you wanted to get a test today, it'd be hard for you to figure out how to get a test if you didn't have a fever and you didn't have a physician's order. So this is really, the number tested represents the assertiveness of the person getting to get tested and not just saying, oh, I probably have it, I'm staying inside. I'm going to separate myself from my family. And that's somewhat what concerns me because it's so hard to get tested. You don't know somebody in your family who might have a sniffle actually has it or not. So you just have to wait and hope nobody else does or tell anybody with a, you know, sniffle, maybe starting to feel feverish, maybe getting a little cough. Stay separated from us.
I'm seeing a lot of unfortunate stories. You know, everything's got to be about race in America, and I don't approach things that way. I have no problem with looking at data to try to determine who's being impacted and whether they're cultural or lifestyle issues or socioeconomic issues that impact people, but I hate to immediately assign things to race. Can you look at the numbers here in Virginia and assess what's going on? It looks to me like the data that's been presented to the Virginia Department of Health, and I assume that it's accurate and complete, says that 25% of the people who have tested positive in Virginia are white, Caucasian, 13% black or African American. Is there anything to take from that?
Well, as you can see, that's not even, we've got 54% not reported. So that would be nice to know. I will tell you the percentage from a study I recently did average in the United States of the black or African American population is about 13%. So there's something telling me they're getting tested, which is good because the disparity here is really in the ability to get health care. And I think what we're seeing in New York and where where Mayor Blasio is noting is that these particular areas in Brooklyn and Queens that are getting hit really hard with this, with these deaths and ICU admissions, happen to be in apartment housing where there is a confluence of Black African American people. That we, you know, we're always concerned about our public health programs to take care of either the underserved or people that don't have financial means and may have difficulty getting insurance. So this, the economics of this situation and how we provide health care to these communities is going to be seriously evaluated and try to figure out, is this something that we need to tackle on a community level, on a state level? Or, you know, we always, you know, go back and looking at, do, you know, as you know, some people are going to take this statistic and say that this is why we need a federal program to, for better health insurance coverage. So it'll be interesting to see whether the, I think this will fall to a state versus federal argument about who's going to take care and make sure that all of our population in the state of Virginia has fair and equitable health care.
Yeah. Well, as you point out, 54% of these cases not reporting ethnicity or race, which, you know, bothers me. I'd always rather have more data. And then you're not talking about just people who might have a political motivation for saying things. You can look at the real factual information. And
Right. And I think I'd like to have Latin or Hispanic, because we have a large Latin Hispanic population here. And I think those people also have, particularly in Northern Virginia, and I believe in Richmond, have some health disparity and health care access issues.
In Arlington and Alexandria, I witnessed that firsthand.
Yes.
That's really interesting. All right, Dr. Mary Schmidt, I appreciate you being available to us. And, you know, we may call you again before the week is out, but thanks for coming on today. President of Schmidt and Libby Health Advisory Clinic and Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine at VCU's Northern Virginia campus. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.